Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God? And I want us to be reminded as to why I have a stand from time to time. Whenever we stand to read the Word of God, it is merely symbolic. There's so much of what we do in the church that is symbolic. Things like the Lord's Supper, we did that last week. Things like baptism, it's symbolism that shows that we are a follower of Jesus Christ, and standing to honor the Word of God is symbolic. And what we are saying is we cherish these words. These words are truth. We want to honor these words. Mark chapter 7, verse 31, it says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis." The Decapolis, that's a key word for us this morning. We'll talk about that later on. It says, "And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside," Jesus taking him aside from the crowd privately, "he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it." Verse 37, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" Would you pray with me? God, we love you. And Father, today we want to simply hear from you as we look into your beautiful, beautiful word that you have given us. So God, we ask and pray that you would meet us this morning right where we are at. Father, you know our needs this morning. You know exactly where each individual is, where each family is this morning. I just ask and pray, God, as the word of God is proclaimed, as your spirit searches throughout this room, we just ask and pray, God, today that you would meet us and that you would meet our needs, that we would be able to hear your voice, and that we would leave this place in just a few moments closer to you. God, maybe changed, maybe a little bit more like Jesus, maybe equipped a little bit more to go into this world to make much of your name. So God, use this time for your glory. Thank you for your beautiful word that will teach us and that will not return void. We love you, God. And everyone said, please, please be seated. There's a song written by Chris Tomlin called "You Do All Things Well." And the lyrics say this: "He's the mountain maker, the ocean tamer. Glimpses of you burn in my eyes. The worship of heaven fills up the skies. He says, 'You made it all, said let there be, and there was.' All that we see, the sound of your voice, the works of your hands. You do all things well. You do all things well. You do all things well. Star creator, wind breather, the strokes of your beauty brush through the clouds, light from the heavens touching the ground. You made it all, said let there be, and there was. All that we see, the sound of your voice, the works of your hands. You do all things well. You do all things well, and you do all things well." And this is truth. Jesus Christ does all things well. And this is exactly what these Gentile people were saying in Mark chapter 7, verse 37. It says, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak.'" And my prayer for today is that we would see that Jesus Christ does all things well, that there is nothing or no one that compares with him. He does all things well. There's nothing or no one that compares with his ways, with his truth, with his word, with his desires. He does all things well. He is good. Point number one, if you're taking notes, Jesus does all things well. His compassion is for all of the world. Again, look at verse 31. It says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis." If you write in your Bible, maybe underline that word Decapolis. It's a very important word that we'll come back to. Or circle that word Decapolis. Skip down into chapter 8. All of this really goes together. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, in those days, he's still around the same area, in those days when, again, a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. So Jesus is now back in Gentile country. This was an area that was not Jewish. Remember, Jewish people shunned Gentiles. They had nothing to do with them. They considered them unclean, that they couldn't stand being around them. And the ministry of Jesus was to the Jewish people first, as the word says, and then it was for the Gentiles, people who were not Jewish. And this says here in verse 31 that Jesus was in the Decapolis. This is very important for us to understand this morning. The Decapolis was an area north of Jerusalem in the area of Galilee that consisted of 10 cities. And these cities were all Gentile cities, non-Jewish cities. So here is Jesus right smack dab in the middle of Gentile country. He's getting ready to heal a Gentile man who is mute, who is deaf. He's getting ready to feed a crowd of upwards of 16,000 people when you include the women and the children who had been listening to Jesus for 3 days. All of these people, they're all Gentile. They have needs. They're suffering physically. They're hungry. The first time Jesus fed thousands of people in Mark chapter 6, we studied that a few weeks ago, all of these people were Jewish. So now Jesus is getting ready to feed thousands of Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And Mark says that Jesus has compassion on this crowd. He has compassion on this man that he's getting ready to heal. And the Greek word that Mark uses for the word compassion here is the word splachnizomai. Splachnizomai, and it means to feel sympathy from the inside. To feel sympathy from the inside of your heart, from the deepest parts of who you are. And Jesus saw these Gentile people listening to him. He saw them hanging on to his every word. He saw these people suffering. He saw this man physically suffering, and Jesus has a deep compassion for all of them. Remember, they're not Jewish people. These aren't people that are like him. His people hated these people, but not Jesus. He loves them, and he has compassion on them. He heals them. He feeds them a meal. This would be like a Sooner fan making dinner for a group of OSU fans. How crazy would that be? But that's what Jesus is doing here. This would be like a Jewish person who lost all of their family in the Holocaust making dinner for Hitler's family. This would be like an American who lost their father in 9/11 having a group of Afghans over for Thanksgiving dinner. And this is what Jesus does. He has compassion on a group of people whom the rest of the people have written off. You see, as followers of Christ, we must love and have compassion for all of the world as Jesus does. And yes, we must show love and compassion to other cultures and to other nations and to other races and other ethnicities. Yes, we must do that. But listen, at the same time, we cannot forget to show compassion to the world directly around us. Who is the Gentile that you need to show compassion to today? The person who isn't like you. Maybe it's that coworker that's perverted. You just can't stand to be around, but you're around all the time. and you're growing bitter towards this person. Maybe that person just needs prayer or needs the love of Christ simply shown to them. Maybe it's that person that you can't stand. Maybe it's someone that has different political beliefs than you. Maybe it's someone in this room that requires you to show them just a little bit of extra grace. You see, Jesus' compassion is for all of the world. It's for everyone. John MacArthur says, any person with a need elicited the compassion of Jesus. And Jesus' compassion is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. In our sin, Jesus shows us compassion. In our attitudes, Jesus shows us compassion. On our worst days, Jesus Christ shows us compassion. And how much more should we show the world around us compassion, grace, and mercy when Christ shows it to us so freely? He does all things well. He shows compassion well. His compassion is for all of the world. Next, Jesus does all things well. His commission is for all of his followers. Look at verse 32. It says, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. So who brought this man to Jesus? The man didn't bring himself to Jesus. It says it was they. They brought this man to Jesus. Who was they? It's his friends. Someone who cared about him. Someone who loved him. Someone who had compassion on his need. And how did these men, these Gentile men, even know about Jesus in the Decapolis? A few weeks ago, we looked at Mark chapter 5. And we looked at a man in Mark chapter 5 who was possessed by a legion of demons. And Jesus arrives on the scene. He casts this legion of demons out of this man. These legion of demons go into a herd of pigs, and these herd of pigs run off of a steep bank into the sea, and they all die. Remember that story? And this man who was possessed by demons, who was literally insane, it says that he had been cutting himself, running around the tombs at all hours of the night. And this guy was scary. And Jesus changes him in an instant. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, go and tell your family. Go and tell your friends. And this man says, I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to go be with you. And this is what Jesus told him. He says, he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the what? The Decapolis, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So there is a good chance that this once demon-possessed man was the very first missionary to these Gentile people who did not know God. It could have been that because this once demon-possessed man took the commission of Jesus seriously to tell what Jesus had done for him, that this deaf and mute man's friends heard about Jesus in order to take their friend to Jesus. They brought this man to Jesus and they begged Jesus to heal him. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws them. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible also says that you and I are responsible to take the message of Christ to people and then to trust the Spirit of God to work on their hearts. So Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That means someone proclaiming the gospel, someone talking about Jesus. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who tell the good news, who live out the good news, who are not ashamed to stand up for the good news. That they have not at all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And it's our job to help people to hear, to tell, to talk about Jesus, to bring Jesus up in our conversations. His commission is for all of us. You see, if you're a Christian in this place, if you've been touched by the love of Christ, if you've been rescued by his grace and mercy, it's because the Spirit of God worked on your heart when you heard the message of Christ. It's because someone invited you to hear that message. It's because someone told you that message. It's because someone took you to church or took you to church camp or took you to VBS. It's because you saw Jesus Christ lived out in someone else, and the Spirit of God drew you to himself. And now that you're in Christ, his commission is for you. His commission is for me. It's for all of his followers. And this is not an option for the believer. The last words of Jesus, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What's the key word here? It's go. These men, they went to Jesus. This demon-possessed man was healed by Jesus, and he went. And these men heard about Jesus. And these men took their friend to Jesus. They went. Are you going? Who are you praying for? These men were begging Jesus to heal their friend. Who are you begging Jesus to save? Who are you praying to Jesus for daily? Jesus, would you save this person? Would you do a work in this person? Would you draw this person to you? Would this person's life glorify you, God? Who are you begging Jesus to do a work in? You see, when you go to work, you go in the name of Jesus. It's not just to make a salary. It's for the name of Jesus. When you go to school, students, you go in the name of Jesus. When you go shopping, you go in the name of Jesus. When you go on summer vacation, you go in the name of Jesus. When you go out to eat, yeah, you're getting some food, but you really go in the name of Jesus Christ. This coming November, we're going to Panama again as a church. A couple $100 deposits due by August the 1st. It costs a little over, less than $2,000. Would you consider coming with us? You might say, well, Caleb, I don't know the Bible well enough. I don't either. But we go in the name of Jesus, and we love on people that are working for their salvation, that need to be told that the way to eternity, the way to God is through Jesus Christ. It's not by works. Come with us. You say, well, I can't afford $1,950. That's nothing for God if he calls you to go. Pray about that. Consider going with us in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can't go, help someone else go. Give towards that. Go in the name of Jesus. His commission is for all of his followers. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring their friend to Jesus Christ. Amen? His commission is for all of his followers. Next, Jesus does all things well. His capability to meet specific needs is perfect. I love this. Try to picture this in your mind. Here's a man who was deaf and mute. And it says, and taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus got this man alone by himself, and he put his fingers into his ears. No, this is not permission to give someone, you know, a wet willy. All right, you're not Jesus. He put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha. That means be opened, and his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Why did Jesus take this man away privately? Why did Jesus put his fingers into this man's ears and touch his tongue? This man, he couldn't hear. This man couldn't speak. And in this day and age, if you could not hear and you couldn't speak, listen, the people of this day and age, they considered you insane. And this man had probably been shunned his entire life. And Jesus has great compassion on him and takes this man alone by himself, and he touches his ears. He touches his tongue. And this was Jesus' way of letting this man know, hey, you're not insane. This was Jesus' way of letting him know that he's going to heal him. This was the sign language of Jesus to let this man know that Jesus is the one who is going to meet his needs. This was Jesus' way of telling him that he is getting ready to give him words when he's probably never been able to utter a word his entire life. It says that his ears were opened and his tongue was released. The word release, the Greek word release that Mark uses here is the word luo. It's the same term that's used for setting a prisoner free from their shackles. It says Jesus opened his ears and his tongue. He released his tongue. And it says this man spoke plainly. Think about it. If you've been deaf your entire life, it's going to be very difficult to talk. And it says that he spoke plainly. The word plainly is the word arthos. It's where we get our word orthopedics from. It means rightly. So the power of Jesus releases this man's tongue, and he's able to speak plainly, rightly, correctly. Jesus meets this man's specific needs perfectly. George Campbell Morgan writes, he adapts his method to the peculiar circumstances of need of the one with whom he is dealing. He says, I am quite convinced if we could perfectly know these men, we should discover the reason for the method. In each case, Christ adapted himself to the need of the man. It also says that Jesus sighed whenever he was doing these things, whenever he was doing these miracles. He sighed because he hurt for those who hurt. He sighed because of this fallen world. He sighed because he was compassionate. Mark chapter 8, it tells us, his disciples answered him about these people who were hungry. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these people also should be set. These should also be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. You see, Jesus specifically meets the needs of these Gentile people who were hungry and they were satisfied. He specifically meets the needs of this man who was deaf, mute, and could not talk. But please remember that these miracles not only point us to the provision that Jesus can provide, these miracles point us to Jesus Christ as being the ultimate healer. Jesus Christ being the bread of life. These miracles point us to Jesus Christ being what we need most. You see, there may be some things on this earth that you believe that you need that you might not ever receive. You might not ever receive total physical healing on this earth. You might not get that job that you really want. Sometimes life stinks. Sometimes life isn't fair, as it was not fair for this man, who couldn't speak for his entire life, who couldn't hear for his entire life. But listen, if you have Jesus Christ, the bread of life, you have everything that you will ever need. Do you believe that this morning? If you have Jesus Christ, the bread of life, you have everything that you will ever need. What this deaf and mute man needed most was Jesus. What these Gentile people needed who were hungry the most, they needed Jesus. And these miracles point to so much more than physical healing or food. They point to Jesus Christ offering spiritual healing and spiritual bread for the entire world. They point to Jesus, the Son of God. Sinclair Ferguson says, "This miracle foreshadows the gathering together of those from every nation under heaven to the heavenly feeding of God's people. What we need most is Jesus Christ. We need him most for spiritual healing. We need him most for spiritual bread." Lastly, Jesus does all things well. His ceaseless praise will be declared eternally. So after Jesus heals this deaf and mute man, verse 36, it says, Jesus charged them to tell no one. Tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Why does Jesus tell them to tell no one? I mean, think about this. Here is this man who has never been able to hear, never been able to speak, and all of a sudden he can hear perfectly and speak plainly, and Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Yeah, right. That would be extremely hard to do. Think about this. Here's this man who's never been able to talk. He's talking a lot, right? But why does Jesus tell them to do this? And this is why. There's more to Jesus' story. He doesn't just want people chasing after him just for physical food, just for physical healing. He wants them to follow him because he is the Son of God, because he is the bread of life, because the call to follow him is the call to die, because he'll die on a cross for the salvation of their sins. There's more to his story that is to come. But they're not quiet. They worship Jesus. They're astonished. You've done all things well. How can we keep quiet? You make the deaf hear and the mute speak. Oh, we're blown away by you, Jesus. You're amazing. Go back and look at verse 32, something that we cannot miss here. Verse 32 says, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. The Greek word that Mark uses here for speech impediment is the Greek word magilalos. It means speaking with difficulty. And the only time this word is used in the New Testament is right here. It's a very, very rare word. And the only time this word is used in the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 through 6, which say, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. William Lane says about this, Mark's use of an extremely rare word to describe the man's speech deficit is almost certainly an allusion to Isaiah 35:5, which celebrates God as the one who comes in order to unstop the ears of the deaf and to provide song for the man of inarticulate speech. You see, you and I are no different than this group of people. You and I are no different than this man. If you are in Christ today, he has released you from the chains that once bound you to praise his holy name. Just like he did this man, as he awakened this man's ears, he has awakened your heart to praise him, to worship him, to make much of his name. He set this man free. If you're in Christ today, he has set you free to tell somebody else. He has set you free to proclaim his praises, to talk about what Jesus Christ has done. He's given us reason to sing, to praise him. The King James Version translates Isaiah 35 like this. It says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart," which means deer, "and the tongue of the dumb unable to speak." Now that's not talking about someone that's dumb, all right? That's talking about someone who is unable to speak. "Sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." In the 1700s, the great songwriter Charles Wesley penned a song to these verses, and it's called, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." The lyrics say this: "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of his name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ear, 'tis life and health and peace." Then he quotes this verse: "Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, not able to speak. Your loosened tongues employ," meaning sing the praises of God. He set you free. Tell about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. "Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Jesus does all things well. His compassion is for all of the world. His compassion is for you today. Are you showing compassion to your world? His commission is for all of his followers. Are you inviting? Are you going? His capability to meet specific needs is perfect. Whatever need you have this morning, Jesus can meet that need. But most importantly, he can meet your need for salvation. That's the need for himself. His ceaseless praise will be declared eternally. If you're in Christ today, he's given you a song to sing. He's given you spiritual ears to hear his voice. He's taken the chains that once bound you and released them. Are you singing his praises today? In just a few moments, we're gonna pray, and we're gonna stand to our feet, and we're gonna sing this song. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." And if you're in Christ, let this be the song of your heart. Declare it. Sing it because he's worthy. Sing it because he's broken your chains and awakened your spiritual ears. But listen, if you're not in Christ this morning, you cannot sing this song with an awakened heart. The only way that you can sing this song and to declare his ceaseless praise is to be born again. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin, And the Bible says if you call on the name of Jesus to save you from your sin, that you'll be saved from the penalty of your sin. So what if this morning you trusted in Christ and turned from your sin and placed your faith in Christ? If you did that this morning, if you do that this morning in a moment, whenever we stand to our feet to sing the song or for 1,000 tongues to sing, you can sing it to Jesus with a new heart and an awakened spirit. So right now, call on him. His compassion is for you today. The day of salvation is today. You can call on him right now to save you from your sin. Maybe you're in this place today and you understand that you've not been living a life that is honoring to Christ. Can you just be reminded today that the compassion of Christ is for you and that he's standing there this morning waiting on you with arms open wide, ready to receive you? God, we love you. Thank you so much for your word that never ever returns void. Thank you, God, for your compassion that's for all of us, that we get to show the world as well. God, thank you that your commission is for everyone and that we get to tell people about our Father. God, thank you for your capability to meet needs. But God, thank you for your ability to meet our most important need, and that is the need for Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And God, help us to be a people who would praise you ceaselessly, God, for all of eternity. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing this song, these great, great theological words, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Sing it with all that you have, with the voice that God has given you, for the fact that he has set you free, that he has forgiven your sin, that he's given you a song to sing. This morning, if you're in this place today and you just need prayer, maybe there's something going on in your life that's just a burden to you and you just want someone to simply pray for you, we're going to be down here, down front. If you need to make a public decision today, you need to tell your church family that you're a follower of Christ and maybe you want to get baptized in the future or you want to join this church and, you know, be a part of what God's doing here, come talk to me about that. We'll move that process forward. But this time is for you to respond to God, to worship him, to thank him for calling you out of darkness and into light. And if you need prayer, you come and receive that as we sing. Rod, would you lead us?